On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
This show would collapse if I wasn't on.
Here's a kite, everybody. Goofball.
Jeff Lutz.
It's not my job to engage in the show. I am the show.
Are you listening?
Speaking of heroes, here's mine.
Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
It's interesting.
You're right.
Roller coaster ride of Bob and Jeff continues.
No duh, right?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
You know, if this show was an airplane, it would have been grounded.
All right. Hour number two. Hour number two of four today here on the Bob and Jeff Show. If you're tuning in to hear Jim Rome, we're filling in nationally for him today. We're
being broadcast
all across the country. Welcome, those of you listening from New Hampshire.
Are we going to have Bill Romanowski on like he does every Super Bowl?
Thanks for stepping on me.
You're welcome.
We've got Mike Furches joining us today. There's Jeff again. So apparently we're just going to have Jeff interrupt. That's going to be your segment, Mike.
He's waiting for David to show up here.
Can't wait. 2 hours or so?
Oh, he'd be so excited.
Yeah, I can tell.
Anyway, glad to have you. Back in a time when I was looking for somebody to be our entertainment correspondent, our pop culture person. We had a couple guys, and they were okay, but I made the decision to let them go.
And we had one guy, and I liked him, Gregor Thomas Baldwin.
We loved him.
We should mention him. I liked him.
He's a great guy.
And, you know, even in some ways more than Mike. I'm just kidding, Mike.
We brought Mike in. And
I'm just joking.
Golly. Duda.
Smack him.
Yes, we brought Mike in, and Mike took off.
Could you do something?
What do you want me to do?
We'll be back at 11 with more news.
Check him into that plate glass over there.
Anyway, you've been a part of this show now for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you about movies and television, and we have a lot of the same tastes. Now, I got to commend you. You've seen a movie that I want to see, called The Brutalist, which seems to be right there as maybe the favorite to win Best Picture. 3.5 hours. I think you really liked it.
3.5 hours plus. You remember we first talked about it, and I thought, I don't know. I wasn't so sure about it. And so Adrian Brody's in it, and that was kind of a big plus for me. And I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and check it out. And boy, was I surprised. I would say it has entered my top five of all time. I really liked it. I really liked the movie. And it's as long, right at 3 hours and 50 minutes, not a boring moment in it. The intermission, I miss the intermissions on the long movies like that because it came at a perfect time. Was able to get my refill on my Icy at the concession stand. And had that finished by the time the movie started again. But just it's a really good, thought-provoking. It's the kind of movie you watch it and you wonder, is this true?
What would you say it's about? What would you?
Well, it's about it takes place right at the end of World War II, and a architect from overseas, and he comes to America. He immigrates to America. And he comes, and he's a guy that was a famous architect. And I did not know this, but there's a style of architecture called Brutalist. Hmm. And that's where the name comes from. I thought it was because it was just a brutal story. But it has to do with the style of architecture. And here I am, a guy loving sports. My favorite channel at Facebook right now is Fight Club, where I go watch these homemade fights. And here's this crazy movie that you would think I would have no desire to ever see or appreciate or like, and I loved it. And I think you'd love it as well because you and I, you're right, we have the same kind of taste in a lot of movies. It's just a good story. He leaves his wife behind in Budapest, and he's so filled with pride that he don't want to ask for anything. He doesn't want anyone to know who he was, where he came from, what he did. And he kind of happens to fall into building this big building for this extremely wealthy guy, And the story unfolds from there. And it sounds like such a boring movie, but it's not. It's so good. The acting is... Adrian Brody, he of all the movies I've seen, and there's been some good ones, I think he's got Best Actor wrapped up. He's that good. And, of course, he won the Golden Globe for it as well.
Absolutely. So. Jeff.
You know, you talked about your favorite five movies. We should all go around and name our top five favorite movies.
That'd be a throwback.
On the last show.
There's no way.
You couldn't name your top five favorite movies?
No, I would very much struggle.
What's your favorite movie? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest remains my favorite movie of all time.
Mike, what's your favorite movie of all time?
You know what my favorite is because you dog me about it every time I tell you because he's not batting.
Oh, Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, yeah.
Jason.
Well, it'll probably be Slapshot, but you haven't seen it, so never mind.
I appreciate you valuing my opinion that much, that you knock it down.
You said you were going to watch it, and you never have, but I'm going to go with Shawshank.
Shawshank Redemption. Yes. Mine, of course, Jerry Maguire. Tommy Thurber, favorite movie of all time?
The Sting.
The Sting.
That's a good one.
There's some really good ones there, yeah.
Max?
Shawshank.
Wow, we got to double up.
Two smartest people in the room.
I could probably name my top five, but since no one else is, I won't.
Yeah, we don't. There's not a clattering for it.
Oh, I want to hear it. I want to hear it, Jeff.
Mike has put nine movies into his top five just since the show.
Maybe when David Michael Hahn gets here.
Okay, well, me and him will talk about that.
Shawshank would be in my top five. For Shawshank being top three for me. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people's favorite movie.
Now, well, as we said, we'll take your phone calls at any time during the show to get today, whether we have a guest or not. I think Mike would be on board with that.
Absolutely.
So what about television at the moment? I got to tell you, I'm watching my weekly episodes of FBI and all of those, FBI International, FBI Most Wanted. We watch Law & Order. Those are kind of the shows that I'm into. We love Matlock.
Let's talk about Matlock.
Matlock's a good one.
Can we talk about Matlock?
I see thumbs up from Tommy over there.
Matlock is wonderful, but every episode that goes on, I find myself caring, and I assume this is true of the audience as well. I don't care who took the paper, who forged the paper, who did the Librexa. Why are we supposed to care about that?
Because a person died.
Not someone we've been introduced to.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's more than one.
Do you care about that as part of the story?
Absolutely.
It drives.
I want to know the backstory. I think that's more intriguing than just the show itself.
There's twists and turns still to come.
Yeah, I get it. There's twists and turns still to come. But the most interesting part of the show is the relationship between Matlock and Olympia. And let's just focus on that.
I don't care
who did the Librexa.
Go ahead, Mike.
There's a grandson that's involved there. There's a husband. There's coworkers. You may not care about it, but a lot of us do.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah, I care.
I care
about the backstory as well because without the backstory, you don't know anything about what's going on at all. The backstory is what's driving the whole series at this point.
All right.
So.
That's what the series is based off of, is the backstory.
I'm just saying, they're not giving that as much.
Well, of course, they don't want to. They can drag that on for as long as they want. That's the whole idea.
If they address that all at once, it becomes a one-season series.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to take this into season two?
You know what?
Very well could,
don't
yeah.
watch.
I'm going to watch. I'm allowed to criticize things that I enjoy and that I watch.
Here's Nick from Chicago.
Chicago.
Calling at an opportune moment. One more voice against Jeff. Hello, Nick.
Doubtful.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, one thing I have to say, I'm going to miss you guys with your daily banter and just a lot of good times listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Nick. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Where's our pie?
It's going to be a shame. I'm not going to hear my favorite Ukrainian from Canada coming on the radio too often.
Now, Duda will be available on street corners throughout Wichita if you want to get with him.
Starting tonight at 7 o'clock, I'll be at 21st and Mays.
You know, there was a time...
I'll be there.
I remember when we first started, we talked about how we might have to take a religious tent and have someone here that interpreted speaking in tongues so that people could understand Duda and I both.
Oh, they can understand me.
Hey, Nick, thank you for all your support over the years, okay?
Good luck to you guys.
You bet. Same to you.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one of the hardest parts is... our listeners. And we know there are a lot of them who are devoted to this show and have been. I like to think that this show, and I don't look at the ratings that closely. We do okay. We're not setting the world on fire. But we're in a Wichita market. But I like to think that the people who listen to this show are the most loyal radio listeners in Wichita. That's the impression I get. I'm not saying that to be boastful, but from the number of people I've heard from, they listen to this show every day, and they don't like it when they miss it, and I take great pride in that.
It's very sweet.
Dino's on one, and Jason's on another.
Let's. Didn't we already have a Jason?
It's a different Jason.
I can only do two Jasons in one day. Here's Dino first up. We know Dino. Hello, Dino.
Hey, guys. Sad day, but I got to tell you, I've enjoyed listening to you, especially Password. And, you know, there was in June, I had a life-changing event where I lost my job. And I have another one now, so everything's great. I'm at a better place, better company. But for those 2 hours during the summer, I could look forward to listening to you guys, look forward to the laughs, look forward to the banter. And you guys got me through kind of a down period in my life. But for those 2 hours, I knew I could count that you guys would be there and make me laugh. But I really appreciate the memories. And, you know, we got stuck with that degenerate Jim Rome. So if you guys change your mind, I know I'd love to have you back, and I know Wichita would as well. But appreciate everything. You guys, good luck in the future, and thanks for everything.
Thank you, Dino. Nice of you to tell that story. We appreciate it.
Bruce is also holding.
Here's Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, gentlemen. I had to holler at you real quick and just, Jeff, this is Jason Smith. But
yes, it is.
Wanted to let you guys know that you've been a part of my afternoon routine, especially when it was 2 to 4. I'd get off work about 3 and start listening to it a little bit late, and then you've watered a lot of grass and mowed a lot of yards and whatnot as I've listened. So I'm gonna have to learn a new routine. But I wanted to holler also while Mike and Jason were there, because I feel like the A team is in the room right now. Got all 4 of you, and just wanted to give you a shout and say thanks. And I'll miss the show, and I'll try to work this through. I'll try to work this through Jeff or Mike on messaging them, but hopefully I can make it happen. Sometime I'll take the 4 of you out and buy burgers and beers on me. So,
well, that's
toast. I'm available in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Dude will leave the show right now if that offer's good.
And it's the beer. That's
thank
the
you, Jason. Point, yeah.
Thanks, Jace.
Yep,
thanks,
have a good one.
That's another very nice call. Who's next?
Bruce.
Bruce Hurdle. Bruce Hurdle, my longtime radio partner.
Yeah, no, wrong. Which different Bruce? But,
what's up?
No, I've got lots of sentimental hogwash, but I don't think that I should bother you with that at the moment, because I'll probably cry. Oh, God.
Jeff would like you to.
Please, I want to cry, too.
You come into my restaurant, I'll buy you guys dinner, I promise you.
Well, you got to tell us where your restaurant is located.
It's Tanker Barbecue right next to Riverfront Stadium or next Equity Park now. Barbecue.
I've been meaning to get there for sure. So
yeah,
we'll make that happen in the near future.
Jad came in with his family and truly enjoyed the hell out of it. So you guys got dinner on me.
All right. Well, that's very
thank
nice
you, Bruce.
Offer.
You're a very nice person.
I need an hour and 20 minutes to get to that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, dude,
he has to finish his burgers.
He's going to get the burgers. The
beers, I'm Duda, you're beers. Welcome. Yeah, bring Duda for sure.
Thank you. So you took your family there?
Is that what he said?
Did you go to Tanker Barbecue?
No, not that I remember.
Well, somebody did.
Did he say me?
I don't know.
I thought he did.
Anybody next, Max?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
All right.
That's it?
What do you mean that's it? That was a great run of calls.
It was good.
We appreciate it.
They were all wonderful.
Mike Furch is with us right now, headed to Tennessee later.
Yeah, I'll be leaving right after the show, listening to the show, and then driving through the night for an unfortunate trip I have to make home. So.
Well, we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Can you hang for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll come back with Mike, Jason Duda, Jeff, yours truly. Ted Woodward. You won't want to miss it. Coming up at 3:40 today as we go through a bunch of our loyal people. We'll have Joanna Chadwick at 4 o'clock, Denise Neal at 4:20, the big fella Anthony at 4:40, and I can't tell you how excited
we are to
have David Michael Hahn on at 5:20 today.
Wow.
Back in a minute.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day.
Is that Nickelback?
It is. Pretty distinctive sound.
Thank you very much. I got one
up
on the last show of the year. Remember that.
He wins the trivia contest today.
If today was your last day, apt title from Nickelback. Mike Furches is with us, as is Jason Duda. Our very first producer and engineer, Tom Thurber, all the way back from Alabama just for this.
It's a long drive. That's sounds, a lot of commitment.
Sounds good. We welcome Tom back. And, of course, Max Bauer here to produce and engineer. In our final show in this realm.
What was the hullabaloo about?
We may do another show in another realm someday.
Bob stepping on me again.
What'd Jeff say, Duda?
What was the hullabaloo about during the break?
Have you guys not figured out I really don't pay attention a lot of times?
You were saying it.
Jason guessed it was Nickelback.
Yes.
He guessed the song. Yeah.
Good job. Thanks, man.
Ryan's online.
Here's our friend Ryan. Even if he's not our friend, he's our friend now. Ryan, hello.
Hey, guys. Absolutely.
Oh, we love Ryan.
Our boy.
Proud to be called a friend. And I'm sorry that we're not going at least another year so I can haze Max. You know, he's always saying, call back once Mahomes has had 8 championship tournaments in a row. So I want to get his number so I can haze him next year and call him out on that. If I can tell a couple stories, I hope that through the rest of the show today, we maybe revisit. You know, you've got a couple really good stories that come out, you know, a couple times a year. And I've just really enjoyed hearing about Jeff Spread Eagle. You know, that was always...
God. Shut up.
No, that was a great story, and it'd be great if Bob would tell it.
I will tell that here in
There's
a little
no
while.
Need.
Oh,
next.
I don't know that story.
Before I ever met Bob, I had a Bob sighting at Royal Stadium in August of 2014, when you received the award to sit in the Buck O'Neill seat. We were at that ball game, and it was an opportunity for me to talk about the depth that you've had in the Wichita sports landscape, Bob, and it can't certainly be written, you know, without you in the fabric of it. And I remember a time, just a time of comfort, you know, before the announcement of our minor league team, there was a couple times I got in Bob's ear at Lawrence Dumont, and that last time, you know, I was like, I was really anxious, and I was like, is it going to happen? Is it going to, and of course, you know, you couldn't give details, but you said, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to happen. It gave me a sense of comfort, and I appreciate that. And yeah, no, it's many lawns have been mowed, and I appreciate the friendship that I've forged with Jeff, and I continue to, you know, I want that to continue. And it's really made, life a little easier, a couple hours at a time.
You're
and,
a good man, Ryan.
Wonderful man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for your loyal.
Rock it out.
You got it. Rock it out, guys.
We love Ryan. No question about it. Who's next?
Adam.
Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Just wanted to. I've been with you guys since the beginning. I appreciate it. All the work you guys put in every day. It's been fun listening to you guys while I'm out on the route. I've even switched states like totally, and I still listen to you guys. So I appreciate that.
What state are you in now, Adam?
I live down all the way down in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Wow. Well, that's amazing that you still listen to us in Corpus Christi.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
We know of some very good shows in Corpus Christi that you should be listening to.
No, it's all Cowboys talking. I don't need none of that nonsense.
Thank you, Adam, very much.
Hey, no, I got a quick story. Let's
okay.
I happened to be leaving a golf course one day, and I had to go to a trick-or-treating event. And I'm pulling into the parking lot. This guy will not turn. He won't turn. I'm like, come on, Goober. So I finally just, like, cut him off and pull in. So I'm walking in to go into this trunk or treat thing, and I walk by, and I'm like, I just want to see who this guy is. It turned out to be Duda. So I happened to have a couple of Philadelphias, so we had a couple of Philadelphias in the parking lot, and they went through some candy to some kids.
Yes, we did. I remember that. That was the best part of that trunk or treat night, I'll tell you that.
I agree, my friend. I agree.
Good stuff. Thank you.
See y'all, boys.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. So I'll tell the story.
Why?
I want to hear it.
It was requested. Mike, do you know the story?
I don't know the story. I want to hear it, too.
It's not a story. It's just a thing that happened.
So as the millennium ends in 1999, we're in Los Angeles to see the Eagles on New Year's Eve. The Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, Jackson Brown, at the big arena.
Staples Center. Crypto.
So we stay at a hotel down the road from the Staples Center, and Jeff's dating a girl at the time, and apparently they were on the rocks, and I think it ended that day that she broke up with him.
Not true.
Via some phone call or whatever, but Jeff was distraught on the day we're supposed to see the Eagles on New Year's Eve for the Millennium, right? Big deal. Paid $500 for those tickets. And this guy's just out of sorts. Just the lasting image I have of Jeff that day is on the bed, spread eagle. Just as emotional as you can be. And I'm wondering, are we going to be able to go to the Eagles show tonight? This guy's lost it. I mean, he's on the bed, spread eagle.
I was paying tribute to the band. If those tickets were so expensive, why weren't they better?
They were fine tickets.
Yeah.
They were fine tickets, and it was an enjoyable concert. I'm just glad you didn't lose it during the
show.
That
was one of the better nights I've ever had in my life, so thanks.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. Mike, what's the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, well,
the most memorable concert. I'll put it that way.
When I took Mary Jane to in Nashville to see the Electric Light Orchestra. Donnie Harrison had called, and my buddy Jim Shulman, who's vice mayor of Nashville, he gave me his parking spot, and Bridgestone gave me special seats to take her. And so we had always loved ELO, and that will go down. I don't know if a show will ever be as memorable as that one. Outside of taking my daughter, grandson, and son-in-law into Cleveland to see Electric Light Orchestra. So those are most memorable. There's others that people – seeing Larry Norman in Knoxville, Tennessee – a lot of people would have no idea who that was, but what a fantastic show.
Who was it?
Larry Norman. He was with the band called People. And then seeing Tom Chapin on the campus of East Tennessee State University for the first time was also a very memorable show.
Jeff, what's your most memorable concert?
That's a tough one. It's obviously going to be one of the Eagles concerts.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
You're kidding.
So either the first one in Denver, that's very memorable. The first one in Columbus with the other side of my family. You have the Millennium Show.
It's not the other side of your family. It's your mother.
Right, my mother's side of the... I don't know. What do you want?
It's not a side of the family.
Whatever.
She's your mother. I'm your father.
The most memorable show.
We produced you together.
Yeah, but I agree with Jeff. It's the mom's side. It's her family.
What do you know?
I'm just... straightening you out in the last show.
The most memorable.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the best, but the most memorable is the one at Dodger Stadium in 2017 when they reformed with Vince Gill and Deacon Fry. That's the most memorable.
Yeah, I can see that. That was very memorable.
Yeah. But obviously, I would have preferred Glenn Frey being in the band.
I had a few. One was Madison Square Garden with my friend Doug.
I wish my experience at Madison Square Garden would have been memorable.
It wasn't?
It was fine, but they didn't do a great show.
Well, but this was from Long Road Out of Eden tour, yeah. And that was the best tour because they played new material.
Yeah, I think 08, I've decided, was my best year with the Eagles.
Well, there you go. We were wondering
thank you.
What you decided.
I was going to make a list, but you guys don't like top five, so
we'll
just stick with 08. What about Duda? Can he not tell
well,
who that
I,
is?
I don't. I was scared to
I,
ask.
I don't go to concerts.
Really?
Yeah. So the only one I would have to say the best concert I've ever been to, because I've only been to one, was Dolly Parton.
That's well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. We went up for Kansas City. My wife loves Dolly. So we went up for a couple days, went to the concert. It was actually
good
pretty good.
Good for you. Good
she's
for
never
you.
Taken you to another concert?
She knows I'm not a fan.
Okay.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, so we went up there.
I know you were like actively against music, but...
Dolly's pretty funny. Not going to lie to you. It was pretty good.
Good.
She has some memorable routines on the Tonight Show with Carson. Have you seen any of Dolly's appearances on Johnny Carson? She's got some.
No.
Look them up. There's some funny, funny ones that she's done on there.
I definitely will.
Yeah.
You know, I watched a lot of those.
I know you have.
They're like really popular now. They're blowing up YouTube. As those of us who get older just want to see Johnny Carson.
That's the algorithm.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's blowing up YouTube. I don't get into algorithms.
It's because you watch them a lot.
Right.
They show up on your feed a lot.
I don't care. I don't need the details.
They're not blowing up YouTube.
They're blowing up YouTube in my world.
Right.
That's all I care about. I only have my world. I don't live in your world.
That's good.
Figure it out.
But now Alexa's all across the country are hearing what we're talking about, and they'll be blowing up everywhere now.
They should.
I'll tell you I've obviously Rickles is my favorite, and there was a new one the other night. I don't know who put it up, or it's one I hadn't seen. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jonathan Winters is worth the price of admission.
Yeah, he's like the forerunner to Robin Williams. That was the biggest influence of Robin Williams.
So watch some of those.
We know he's funny. And have you seen Don Rickles on Dennis Miller? I watched that one yesterday. Yeah. I've seen
no.
it a few times, but it's a pretty good one.
Well, I'm sure I saw it at the time.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
My late wife, Bobby, would get a kick out of it. She went to see Rickles at the Playboy Club in Philadelphia. And she was one of the people that he picked on. She was sitting up
really?
Close. Yeah, he picked on her the whole show. And she was Mary Jane was a sweet little innocent Baptist girl. First of all, how she got into the Playboy Club to go see Rickles is beyond me.
Wow.
And then he picked on her. She would tell the story and just turn beet red from telling the story, how he picked on her.
I think he's the funniest person who's ever lived, but some would disagree in today's watered-down comedic world.
I don't know if it's watered down.
I don't know if it's
watered down. It might be a little watered down, but I don't know. That's not really fair. I think the cream still rises to the top.
It's a little watered down.
I'm with you, Bob. I think it's watered down. We will never see another group of comedians like we did in the past. Not to the popularity that they did.
No.
Of course we will. Not anything in the past. I mean, of course we will.
Can you make a quick call to three... what do they call the thugs on ice? What do they call those guys?
Enforcers?
Yeah. Call them. I don't care who they are.
Kevin McClellan, but he loves me. So that's
you might be okay with Mac.
I didn't tell you this, dude. I had somebody come up the other day and said, you know Jason Dust? I said, yeah. So we do a radio together. And they pulled out a picture of when they were like this real attractive girl like in her 20s when she was like 4 and had a picture made with you. And she still carries it around in her wallet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did you get her contact info?
I started to. I should have gotten it, but I didn't do it.
Well,
if
I'm Dia listening to that, I'm not happy.
She's probably not concerned.
Well, that's a good point. And the 20-plus-year-old would be so disappointed.
Yeah.
Hey,
careful.
She's not
listening
either.
Watch out.
Careful.
All right, favorite television show of all time. We've done movie and concert.
You know mine.
It's Andy Griffith.
It's an Andy Griffith show.
It's mine, too. There's just nothing that's ever going to come close.
Unless you're talking to Jeff.
Well,
I don't mind Andy Griffith. I'm not going to sit here and hate on Andy Griffith. If you say there will never be a show as great as Andy Griffith again,
well,
then
not for me.
Then, I'll rip on that.
Not for me, but because
Obviously a great show.
I've watched every episode so many times. It makes me feel good.
And you never get tired of it.
No.
Never.
What television show actually makes you feel good? Have one?
I have a holy triumvirate of favorite shows.
Scrubs,
Breaking Bad, and Shoresy.
Shoresy's in that mix.
Of course. Shoresy's fantastic. I can't wait till it comes out on February 26th on Hulu.
You ever watched it, Mike?
Yeah, I watched it for Jeff. I saw two episodes.
What'd you think?
I saw two episodes.
You're missing it. You're missing the point.
So embarrassing.
Tommy, you watched Shoresy? Max?
You should.
I saw the first season.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
Because it is.
Yes.
And Max has taste, and we appreciate that.
Happy days.
Well, there you go. Max told me who was on hold literally seven seconds ago. And, of course, I've forgotten. No, it's Kelly. Kelly, welcome.
Yeah, I just said that.
Hey, guys. This is the first runner-up from the first, maybe only, women's trivia contest.
Love
Kelly DeGraffenried.
Oh, Kelly.
Also, mother of Raider Nate.
Raider
so
Nate.
I just want to call and say we're going to miss you on the air, but I'll get to see you a lot at League 42. So.
Yeah, that's for sure. We appreciate you and your entire family and your devotion to League 42. And we're going to do some different things here for a while and see where the next road leads us.
Yep.
Thank you, Kelly.
See you Saturday. Thanks.
You bet.
Bye.
There's the mother of Raider Nate. Here's the father of no one, Ted Woodward, joining us.
Why you gotta put it like that?
Whoa.
As far as you know.
Well, I mean,
yeah, exactly, Ted.
Yeah, you spent some time in the Philippines. What's up, Teddy?
How are you?
Doing well. You are going as strong as ever on the show you do with Steve McIntosh. Got to ask you, how's Mac doing? We're starting to notice a little slippage.
He's doing fine.
You've been doing that show with him how long?
Since 1998, 27 years.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Almost 6,900 shows now.
And then you do so much else here at Odyssey. You do sports reports and news. And
mm-hmm.
What do you get? I've always been curious mm-hmm. about this. Your sports reports, you keep track of things that most people in our community aren't keeping track of anymore since we lost the daily newspaper. How important is that to you, and how do you go about that?
Extremely important. And I started writing. I'm on the air every day, so I started writing down just sports birthdays, and I just started a little list. And now it's just this massive list of what happens on this day in history and sports, and I've been compiling it now for 25 or 30 years.
You got one for today?
Yeah.
Hit us.
Well, I mean, the thing was the last triple-double in Shocker history was 10 years ago today.
Wow. Was that Fred?
It was Fred against in a 43-point win over Southwest Missouri State. Fred had like 10 points, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds, and he only played 24 minutes.
That's pretty impressive.
And that was like the first Shocker triple-double in like 28 years or something.
Yeah, they don't happen very often.
And they haven't had one since.
I vaguely remember that. What do you imagine was being set up in row 25 about that performance by Fred VanVleet?
He's pretty good, Mabel, but he's not as good as George Stevens.
Well, I might disagree with you. I don't know if George could dribble like Fred.
Gene Johnson could sure coach.
And Mike Kennedy's on the air. Maybe we should just go home and listen.
No, Mabel. Mike Kennedy is my hero.
There it is, Jeff.
There,
you missed
God.
That so bad.
Oh man, I couldn't live without it. Could not live without it. Ted was very funny there.
That's basically what was going on press row.
Every game for 30 years, you and me sitting next to each other. Yeah,
that was it. People would come to me and say, "What are you and Ted laughing about?" Mabel, pretty much Mabel.
And poor Jeff is over there with his head slumping down.
Oh, there were some days I secretly enjoyed it, but then time 9,732, you guys crossed the threshold.
And then after the untimely and sad passing of Don Hall, you've been doing the PA for the men's games since then. How much do you enjoy that? You've been doing PA really since you were in college mm-hmm. at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So that's right up your alley.
Love it.
Why do you think you became a PA guy? What is it about you that drew you to that?
I don't know. It's the deal where I have a voice that projects. I have good diction, and I think it just comes easy to me.
Got pipes.
And I enjoy being at the games and doing that, having that role.
Yes. So I've known Ted since he was in high school, and is that right?
No, that can't be right.
Yeah, I was saying, since you were in college.
Since I was out of college.
Yeah, he went to college.
My first job was at the Eagle.
So I've known you 11 months, basically.
Right.
So you came to the Eagle and worked.
Yes.
And you first were a correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get such a kick out of Ted because you would do an Ethel Merman
mm-hmm.
impersonation in the newsroom,
mm-hmm.
out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
At deadline,
mm-hmm.
and I've never seen anything like it. Our newsroom at that time, we had 40 people.
Yeah, working, a lot of people
in the newsroom, and everybody would just stop what they were doing and almost fall on the floor laughing because you would sing Ethel Merman for 2 or 3 minutes.
Well, I was a very disturbed person. I mean, the one guy, that poor guy was trying to take an obituary. He was on the phone taking information for somebody's passing, and I'm in the background singing, you know, Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Well, what'd that guy do to you?
Hey, I think he just about clubbed me.
So,
I got a question for
go
you.
Go ahead.
Known you basically my entire life, or known of you since the Ethel Merman. I was probably 6 or 7 when that happened.
So you heard that?
Yeah, I was there. Well, when he did it, Lawrence Dumont.
Oh, yeah.
At the talent show, yep. When he lost to the Cannon guy or something.
Yeah.
Is this, and I don't mean this negatively at all, so don't take it that way, but it seems like you just kind of weaved in and out of things, and you've done, I don't know, is this what you imagined your life was going to be? Because like I said, I've just known you forever as a guy with talent, and you did radio, and you did PA. Is this what you thought was going to happen? Is this what you planned?
That's a great question.
He's causing you to introspect.
Which I don't like. I don't want
to. Sorry.
Welcome to us every day.
No, I mean, when I was a kid, I had Stratomatic baseball, and I would call the games in my basement between major league teams. So I think a little bit, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it probably was.
I'm not surprised this is where I ended up.
But you've just been everywhere in Wichita. You've done everything. So it's just... Is now, this what you've had,
you
had
know, in mind? And look where I am now.
Yeah.
There's worse places to do
it. You're in Wichita on the air at 4 a.m. Good job. Ted Woodward, our guest. We've had a close relationship for a long time.
My life is so terrible. Oh, please get me out of here.
Oh, I triggered Ted.
I can't remember what I... Oh.
Stupid.
I've always been a talent evaluator, right, Jeff?
Oh, always. And you've never missed, famously.
No, absolutely. Well,
but I could see the talent in Ted early on. And
yeah,
we all could. Pretty much me.
No.
His mother couldn't see it even. So what I told Ted when he would do his Homer Simpson, and we'll ask you to do that here in a minute.
He just did it.
He did one syllable. Shut up, Jeff. I mean, seriously. That's it with you.
Ted, do the Mabel thing again. My God.
Anyway, I was told Ted he should head out to California.
Yeah, it's one of the first things. You said, get out of here and go to California.
Did you ever consider it?
Oh, no. I'm a Wichita person.
So as I was telling you that, you're going, make this guy shut up.
And as I told Jeff before, I'm like George Bailey. I'm not leaving Bedford Falls. I'm here.
Have you ever done, like, voiceover work for anything?
No.
You'd be so good at that, too.
See, I think I would be, too.
Yeah,
I'd love
course.
To do stuff
There's
like
stuff
that.
You can find it online.
I know.
Just send in clips.
I'm too lazy.
Apparently, Jeff's here today to make you feel worthless.
Do you want to be...
Can you be a bigger failure, Ted?
Jeff would like to be your agent, Ted. Do you mind?
Please.
He's going to take 98% of
That's what
make.
I want. I want somebody to take control of my life.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. Just point me in the right direction.
So, give us a little more... Homer Simpson, if you don't mind. We're putting you on the spot, but this is our last show. We don't care.
Have Homer doing a conversation with another Simpsons character.
Yeah, there you go.
Bob and Jeff, I love listening to you so much. Your show is so informational. You and Jeff and Travis Clayton, you make me laugh every day. Stupid.
And then what?
And then he goes to the bar with Barney.
Hey, Homer, I'm having a good time listening to you.
Very fantastic.
If I ever vote, it'll be for you.
And then one you've done for us on this show many times is Lou Holtz. And Lou, what do you think of the 12-team playoff system this year?
And it Notre Dame ending up,
who played for the national title.
I tell you what, the University of Ohio State is a fine, fine team, but the University of Notre Dame had some trouble playing against them. I tell you what, we played three games against three ranked teams to get to the national championship game. That's never going to happen again. By the way, the University of Notre Dame, when I was head coach, won a national championship. We did not lose a game. Ohio State lost.
What do you think of Marcus Freeman, the young?
Marcus Freeman is a fine, fine coach, I tell you what, but he's not as good as my good friend Freddie Akers at the University of Purdue, and of course, Fisher DeBerry at the University of the Air Force Academy, a fine, fine football coach as well.
Seems like your memory's starting to slip, Coach.
I'm 94 years old. I remember all the teams I've coached. Coach, remember, I coached against the University of Wichita State. But we had Ricky Foggy at the University of Minnesota. Fine, fine football team. Ron Chisbar is a fine, fine football coach. I enjoyed beating him several times.
Teddy, tell us about Gridiron. It's still a ways away, but not that far away.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Ted has been a mainstay in Gridiron to raise money for scholarships for a long time. When's it going to be this year?
It's the week before the NCAA tournament here. It's like mid-March, somewhere around March 14, 15, 16.
That's really not very far away,
no,
Teddy.
No, we're getting close, 5 weeks out.
And as you told me before we went on the air, you haven't done anything for Gridiron yet, but you've got ideas.
I'm the kind of guy, I always write the scripts at the last minute.
There you go.
So the comedy is as fresh as possible.
Give us a topic or
what
two.
What is kind of the theme?
That you have in
I have
mind.
No idea.
Okay.
I'm the last to know. I don't know. I've got some ideas running around my head. I think that, the drones appearing out of nowhere in Virginia, that'll be in North Carolina. I'm thinking about a skit about that. You know that those ads with the people that do the home improvement with the two blonde daughters and the woman that does things with her hands? Yeah, I'm gonna think I'm gonna do something with them.
Elon gonna make an appearance?
Oh, I'm sure. I'll tell you this, Bob. I mean, the national stuff I don't usually do. I mean, that all gets kind of done to death, and especially with social media, the national
stuff.
Everybody does. So I always concentrate on the local stuff. My stuff's almost always
Plenty
Wichita
of material
related.
Here in the metropolis.
Yeah, yeah, there always is.
Well, Ted, it's always a pleasure. We've enjoyed you throughout the years, and you're doing a lot of good stuff, and thank you for coming on our final show. You have any sentimental thoughts as you leave the studio here?
I'm just, I love local content, and I'm sorry to see any local show go off the air. So I've enjoyed you guys tons and tons over the years.
So we're just another local show to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's the only wonderful words I could think
you've
of.
You've seen them come. You've seen them go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
it's just another passage in the night.
If you need some help exiting the building, I'm here for you. Thank you, Ted, for your very warm thoughts. No, really. Thank you for your friendship, and we won't be strangers. Although I haven't been to a Shocker game in several years now.
No, and I don't see you in years.
No, I don't know what.
So we pretty much are strangers.
Yeah, we are strangers. Thank you, Teddy.
Yeah, this segment, as Don Rickles would say, is like watching a fly crawl up on a blanket and die.
Look at these two, just humorless.
No, we haven't heard it. So.
They don't understand.
You do it better than Bob.
Favorite comedian of all time.
Well, Rickles, Don Rickles.
Love that.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Teddy.
Thank you.
You can leave now.
Love you guys.
You can go.
What do you got going on the rest of the
week? I'm
going to
go home and fall asleep again.
Shocker's on the road. Do the women have a game this weekend?
No.
All right. Well, you're golden.
I'm clean.
You got a free Super Bowl weekend.
I know. I don't know what to do. Well, I need to write Gridiron scripts. That's what I need to do. I need to write some funny things so I'll make people laugh next month.
You need to get on that. All right. Thank you, Teddy.
Thank you.
Security.
Not nice.
He gets it. Why?
I know he gets it, but not nice.
What?
Oh my God!
We're here to prop Ted up, right?
Have we not propped him up? He just told us we're an average show.
Yeah, that's fine.
In an average market,
it was average. It was low average.
Well, you know, yeah,
just
like
a show.
It's like losing Phil Stevenson to Ted. What are you gonna do? Now we love Phil. If you
Phil's
heard
still
that.
On the air?
Yeah, he's still on the air somewhere, giving away pizza
and Burger King.
Oh, we could do this all night. Are you still
Phil,
here?
Phil still owes me $1,500 in Burger King coupons.
Hey, hey, hey.
What?
We don't need to air the
beer. All right, all right.
Maybe that can be a skit at Gridiron. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we go from Ted Woodward to Joanna Chadwell.
Oh!
How about that?
I've been upstaged.
Stay with us.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.